Okay, today is October 7th of 2005. I'm interviewing Angus Merrill for the Montana State University Billings Oral History Project. This conversation is over the phone, and Angus, you are aware this is this conversation is going to be taped, correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, Angus, you had a previous interview, which we will not go into detail about at this time, but you did call and say that you had some more stuff to add to it.
Yes.
And I guess let's go ahead and get started.
You want me to all mine?
Yes.
Okay. Well, to begin with, we had a model section there, Section 7 there, Seward, is a log cabin built back. That's before the war. It's before Pearl Harbor. And one of the things that come up, we were searchlight unit and sound locator, and we'd taken the packages off them and just turned them loose, and the wind took them down toward the ocean. We was right on Resurrection Bay, and so this guy come tearing up to the house, and he said the Japanese are coming. Well, we'd already got word they were coming around Aleutians, but they got stopped back there on one of the islands, so we didn't see them, but it sure sounded, those sound locators picked up all of that noise. It sounded just like people running. And I'd hid behind a big spruce tree right in front of our cabin, and I grabbed the guy as he come by, because I didn't know that what he came up there for. And he was the only one that had a .45 pistol, and he pulled that thing around and shoved it in my belly and click. But he forgot to load it, so I'm here. And that was, and also, we fished down there in the bay, and we were out in the boat with Chuck Nargang from, he was from out of Helena, and he had a boat and a motor, and so we were out, and all of a sudden something grabbed me in the rear, and I had a rifle, my old, my Springfield, that I was going to get a duck with it sitting out there, and so shoot his head off, and all of a sudden something grabbed me from the back. And I turned around and saw this big ugly thing. It was a great big giant crab, and it was a big old long claw, and I was a dry land person. I have no idea what the thing was. So, gosh, I jumped back the other way and threw my rifle right out in the bay.
Oh, no.
Well, that cost me $34 for a new rifle, because it was, I think, 700 foot of water, they said.
Oh, geez.
And so, anyhow, that was one of the things. And then we were, first thing we did, I don't know how they knew the Japanese were coming, into that country, because they asked us if we had camouflaged a Jesse Lee home, and that was before December and the 7th, and it was a home for kids, little boys and stuff. And later on, they moved it to Anchorage, so, and of course, when I went out to Lucian's, well, then that, I didn't see any more of that. But we did a good job. We made it look like a hill with trees on it. And then this girl, Jesse Lee, I went with his sister, some, and they were natives. And what Jesse Lee was his name. He was named after that, supposedly he was brought up there earlier. And anyhow, he's out by the airport right below our section. And he was after this moose. We had a lot of moose around Seward at that time. And the moose and the calf, and there was a bear that he didn't see got in between. A big brown bear. He weighed 1,200 pounds, and it hit him. But he pulled his .30-06 up and shot the bear right in the roof of the mouth. But he landed on him all at full speed at 1,200 pounds. And broke just about every bone in that kid's body. He was 2 years in the hospital before he got out at all. Now, this is about swimming. We were out there, this is Section 7, it was up on a rise above the airport that they had, the Army had. And there was a swimming hole down below us, and there was three girls down there, and they were, the only girl that it could have been was from our line. The Army had the line there, you know, of 32 girls working. And there were three of them down there, so we were watching them through binoculars. And they were going in, diving in and swimming. And so So I said, well, hell, let's go down there. So we went down, and they said, they'll strip off and go swimming with us. So it ended up, they were $2, you know, that's what you paid. Well, this is a freebie.
Oh, wow.
So we got taken care of that. And another time, anyway, on the same kind of a deal, really, was, and this was, we were pretty bad boys, I realize that, but we were unloading coal, and a boat come in from Seattle, and there's a Negro girl on it. She was about, oh, I suppose 16 or 17, and she wanted to know where her mother lived. Well, there was two black girls, or women, that worked on the line. And so we knew exactly where her mother was. And so I asked her if she's hungry. Yeah. Well, I said, well, let's go out because I'm hungry too, and we're going to have a big meal out of our outpost. So she didn't get out of there till the next morning when we all had some of that. It didn't change her luck any, but it was just one of the things that happened as a GI, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then another time was changed from Seward to Germany, and we were on guard over there, and there was a party upstairs. I don't know whether I gave that or not to my interview, but I will do it again. And we were on guard, and so I thought, well, my gosh, I'm going over there and see what the heck's going on. And they were all upstairs. Boy, they were dancing. It was officers with German girls, but there was one German girl that was down there sitting on a kind of a swing on the porch. So I got up there and sat by her, and gosh, we started right up, you know. And I said, well, maybe we should. No, they won't come down. They won't come down. So that happened. So doggone it, anyhow. And another thing, this is getting rough. I didn't realize. That's why I told my wife I didn't want her to read my hard copy if I ever get one.
Understandable.
And, we moved down, and it's Patton's outfit now, and we had, there'd been a PX rob down there at Temple at the Army base, and so we were stopping all traffic down at Temple. And this guy, he said, well, here. He said, I'm going back to camp down where my brother was. And he said, this girl wants out here. So we had a motel room, two of us, and stopping all the traffic. We'd take turns leaving that and going out. Mm-hmm. So we invited her over, and we both had a shot at that. So, and she was willing. She looked clean, nice looking girl. So, But anyhow, the only other story that I, so that was all there was to it. Another thing, kind of backing up a little bit, the town of Seward burned down in '41, and we got 147 gallons of good whiskey. And the next year, the other half burned down. So we were loaded down pretty good. And another thing that happened to us that was kind of bad was me and another guy spent a night in jail there in Texas, and we had this little kid come up, and he wanted to know if we wanted any wood or build a fire in there. And yeah, I said, you put some wood. And he went and got us a bottle. We gave him a dollar, and he went and got us each a bottle of Coke and this pile of wood in the middle. Hear this guard come in, and the kid told us that guy shot somebody right in the cell one time, and so we weren't afraid of that. And you ought to see the look on that guard's face when he come in there, and that little fire was gone, and and those bottles were laying there, Coke bottles. He said, where in the hell did those come from? I said, God, you got a storage here on the side. There's camouflage, though. And he looked over at the old cement wall, pulled his leg, and he said, you guys are smart asses. And I said, not near as much as you. But anyhow, that's about all I've got. Did you have any questions?
I do. I guess, you know, I myself was in the military, so I understand, you know, the whole, being with the girls and whatnot. And, I guess just, I mean, you look back on it now and you seem to have some sort of reservations. I guess, you know, do you feel that has influenced at all when you got out of the military, your outlook on women and stuff like that?
Not whatsoever. The only thing we took advantage of, those girls that were swimming, they were prostitutes, you know, they were on the line. But the Negro girl wasn't. She was a virgin. And I always felt bad about that. But, you know, after 1941, to this date, that's one hell of a lot of years, guy.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't, and you don't keep those things in your mind anyhow. It's just part of history, and that's the way I look at it.
Very much so. Very much so. All right, Merrill, Mr. Merrill, Angus, I do appreciate your time and efforts, and like I said, we'll definitely get a hard copy out to you once we do get it transcribed and let you know what's going on with it, okay?
Okay, it sounds good.
All right, thank you.
Good talking to you.
It was a pleasure.
Tell that Rush, you know him, don't you?
Oh, yeah, he's my advisor.
Yeah, you tell him hello for me.
I will, definitely.
You bet.
All right, thanks, Angus.
Thank you.
Bye.